They prayed, they preached, they rebelled. From God Forbid, this is the Religious Rebels podcast, the stories of people who defied empires and sometimes paid with their lives. From Joan of Arc's battlefield visions to Malcolm X's final revelation, we tell the stories of those who defied faith and remade it. Religious Rebels, the original disruptors. Search for God Forbid ABC wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
Keeping our personal information to ourselves is becoming a losing battle. It seems like megacorporations know us better than we know ourselves, and they're telling other people. So what does the internet know about you? I'm C. Benedict. This is Quick Smart, the show that feeds you big ideas in bite-sized pieces. Why does protecting your data matter? What is a digital footprint audit? And is this just the price we pay for a life online? Someone who's been screaming into the data scraping void is tech reporter and host of Download This Show, Ray Johnston. Hi, Ray.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So I've heard people talking about the amount of data that companies have on us, saying things like, well, if it gives me more accurate advertising, that's a good thing. So why does digital privacy matter?
It does sound quite harmless until you realize that the same systems that are personalizing advertising for you, which can be incredibly convenient, are also being used to manipulate you and profile you or even discriminate against you. So privacy at its core is about control. Without privacy, other people are making decisions about you and for you. So your data can be used against you for things like price discrimination. So you can be charged more for things if companies think you could pay more. Insurance risk assessments, employment screening, it can even deny you services. It also allows for political and psychological manipulation. Talking about things like micro-targeted political advertising, disinformation, the kind of thing we saw in the 2016 US election. It came to prominence then. It also creates massive security risks. So if a company is hacked, anything they have kept, even stuff they should have technically deleted, can be stolen. We saw this in cases like the Latitude Finance breach, where records of customers going back a decade ended up being compromised. So privacy is not about hiding. It's about not being exploited.
How do other companies that aren't those original companies you've actually given your data to end up in control?
There's a few ways. So companies can sell or share data with people they deem their partners. This is something that's often hidden in terms and conditions, I've discovered. If you've ever read terms and conditions, good on you. There are also apps and websites that will embed trackers. So things like Metapixel, Google Analytics, they pass data onto tech giants automatically. You've also got data brokers that buy and sell, merge, repackage data from hundreds of different sources. And old data is sometimes kept forever, even if you stop being a customer with a particular company, and then it can be breached or traded. So the data economy is quite leaky, you could say.
What about AI? Something like ChatGPT, and we cannot get into the whole AI conversation here today, but something like ChatGPT doesn't know what is and isn't private information.
Yes. So when you are using a publicly available generative AI product like ChatGPT, it is using data and information that it has scraped from publicly available sources. What you input into those chatbots, into those large language models, is also treated as data that it has scraped from places on the internet. So you should never, ever, ever put sensitive data into those.
So when you put something into ChatGPT as a prompt, that is essentially publishing.
Exactly. You are making that information available to anyone else that is also using those large language models in order to gain information.
Okay, so let's talk about solutions. You've been interviewing experts and working on a series about auditing your digital footprint. So how does that work?
Yes, I've been going through the steps of how to find out exactly what exists about you on the internet, which is a horrifying experience, let me tell you.
Because you're looking at your own digital footprint.
I'm looking at my own digital footprint as someone who has worked as a technology journalist for the last 15 years. So I have signed up for every service that has ever existed, ever. And I'm looking at what's out there, what's possible to remove, and you know, what's being done with that information as well. So the first step is auditing your digital footprint. Search yourself. So you're Googling your name, old addresses, email addresses, phone numbers, usernames you've used to just see what pops up, what is actually out there.
Is there a risk in doing that?
It feels like there would be, but Googling something doesn't publish it. You're only seeing what's already publicly accessible. So you're not actually publishing that information out onto the internet. No one's going to be able to search it. It's not like if you put it into ChatGPT. One of the other things that you need to do is check data broker sites. So many of them have people search pages that will list your age, your address history, your family members, phone numbers, anything that's been collated about you will exist on these sites. Then also major accounts, emails, telcos, banks, utilities, you know, Medicare, MyGov, all of these loyalty programs, anything you can think of. Effectively. There's a lot out there.
So with your data, where you were finding it online, how much of it was out there? What did you find and how accurate was it?
I found some pretty horrifying things about myself online, not personally, but just things that I didn't want out there. I think one of the pieces of advice that I've been given throughout this series is to identify the things that you don't want out there the most and concentrate on those so that you don't get totally overwhelmed. The thing I didn't want about myself out there is my home address. You know, it's very personal, very private to me, and it's actually what prompted me to do this series in the first place, because someone had found my home address. And I wanted to know how. So this is a bit of the rabbit hole that I went down. And I did find a breach that had occurred with a third party service that was utilized by a real estate agency in order to assess my rental application. And I don't know if you've ever applied for a rental, but they require more and more and more information from you. And a lot of them require you to use these third-party sites. And it turns out they are not secure at all. So they then breach information such as your references, names, addresses, phone numbers, employment history, all of your past addresses for the past 5 years. It's quite horrifying to think about.
When it comes to these data brokers, these third-party sites, is it really next about identifying which ones have your stuff?
Yeah, so, and learning how to opt out of them as well, I think is a big step in the process. So some of these data broker sites will let you request removal of your information. The problem is, there's thousands of them. So getting to them individually is really, really tricky and will take a lot of time. So there are third-party services that I have identified and spoken to people from throughout the series who will send out people on your behalf to do this. You know, things like Delete Me. We hear the ads for it on the podcasts, and it turns out they do actually work. They just cost money, which also raises another problem. It's creating a situation where privacy has a financial cost as well, which is a big issue.
So what does one do next after that? Because, you know, what's to stop that same data being kind of bought back and brokered all over again?
Absolutely nothing. So you can just continually be asking companies to delete or correct your data. We have Australian privacy principles, which do say that you can request deletion, but companies often have a lot of broad exemptions there. So they have a lot of loopholes to get away with it. One of the biggest things we can do, though, is to lock down the data that we are generating today. I think that's the main thing. We can do clean up as much as we want, but if we're still providing that data and information, it's just going to keep getting added to the pile.
On an individual level, whilst we're waiting for the collective action, how do we individually stop companies sharing our info?
Locking down that data. So stopping trackers using browsers like Firefox. You can also install things like uBlock Origin, Privacy Badger, messaging, use end-to-end encryption apps. Signal is a good one. WhatsApp is owned by Meta now. It is encrypted, but it's not as private as it used to be. And there has been instances recently, even in group chats that I've been in, where messages have been deleted and people suspended from messenger platforms on Meta products because of things that they've posted in there that were not a problem, but the words triggered automatic moderation. So be careful about where you're sending messages. Also, emails. Use email burner addresses. So you can use the aliases through Apple's Hide My Email is a really simple one, and it's much easier than creating, you know, a different Gmail for every service that you use. Also, never give away your real birthday unless you have to.
Why does lying about your birthday feel naughty?
Why does it feel wrong? Because we are conditioned to treat forms as authoritative. Most of these requests for information, like our birthdays, are completely unnecessary. They're intrusive. They might be defaults in the software. They're what people think belongs in a form, but you don't actually need it for the service provided. Or on the other end of the scale, they are designed to maximize data extraction. So it feels wrong, but it's really just protecting yourself from unnecessary data collection. It's the safest choice.
Ray Johnston says it is ethical to lie on the internet about your birthday.
It is.
Ray, thank you very much for being on QuickSmart.
Thank you for having me.
QuickSmart was recorded on the lands of the Gadigal people. If you liked this chat, send it to that random number that keeps calling to scam you. And if you're in a deep cleaning kind of mood, check out our episode on how to get on top of your physical clutter. We'll put a link to that and Ray's podcast, Download This Show, in our show notes. Thanks to my producer, Jesse Kay. And if you have any feedback or just want to say nice things, drop us a line at quick.smart@abc.net.au.